good evening, folks. That was perfect timing, a carefully rehearsed show. Welcome to the Beacon Home Companion, the 30th anniversary show. We have a terrific evening of entertainment lined up for you tonight. We're going to try and cram 30 years of the Beacon experience into an hour. In the 1960s, they had a celebration that they called a Bee-In. Well, this is a Bee-Con-In. Because Limerick's Bee-In. And we're going to have laughs that'll be in, hopefully. So will our ongoing radio adventure serial. Heck, even a dancing dog be in on the program. So sit back, rest your own dogs for a while, and enjoy the show. So here to start us off for the evening is the Beacon Choir with Down by the Riverside.
Study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more.
Yes, now that's the way to start a show. We're celebrating Beacon's 30th anniversary tonight. It's about remembering where we came from and dreaming about where we might want to be in the next 30 years. And the Carry the Flame players are going to do just that in a few moments during part one of our radio adventure serial. But first, the choir is going to be joined by the RE Kids to perform a number. That's your cue, folks. I have only so many limericks to sort of fill in the holes. Ev's got most of them, and you might want to, while the kids are getting up on stage, give a quick round of applause for the RE Kids for doing this. I think this is great for them to share the stage with the choir. And they're going to be performing, appropriately enough, One Small Voice.
Feel the need.
Well, it says here on page 2 of the script that I'm supposed to encourage you to applaud wildly for the Beacon Choir and the RE kids, folks, but I don't think we need that line anymore. Time now for part 1 of our radio adventure serial, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse is a wholly remarkable book. As I said...
I must interrupt. There's an important announcement here. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse has classic advice for the prune-averse. You may constipate and largely inflate, creating a whole loony tone-averse.
I'm surprised you needed the sign. As I was saying, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse is an indispensable guide for those traveling through the amazingly vast and complex array of interstellar faith communities. It is a bestseller from the legendary publishing house of Skinner Intergalactic Press. It's been printed almost as often as the Joyce Poley Handbook. Well, not that often, perhaps, but it is still very popular, for while it contains much that is speculative, not to mention downright argumentative, and it is necessarily vague in many places, it outscores its competitors in two very important categories. One, it is slightly cheaper, and two, it has a large, friendly green cover emblazoned with the useful phrase, "Don't panic, just think."
That's right. Panicking doesn't solve anything.
This is Arthur Adent, who is originally from a small, insignificant church in the unfashionable western arm of the UUverse that was nevertheless a joyful musical congregation that has an influence far beyond its mass. Not that it has ever held one, at least not since John Slattery did worship services.
Panic? Why bother? Need enthusiasm to panic. Oh, I have such a headache.
This is Marvin, the apathetic android, Dent's assistant. He is the latest in robotic research, artificial life forms with real people personalities. Unfortunately, when looking for personalities from among the billions of possibilities in the UUverse, Marvin's designers decided to use a psychological composite of every treasurer in every small congregation in the unfashionable Western arm at pledge time. This has resulted in a personality that is a tad depressive.
Have I told you that the row of diodes along my posterior aches?
Oh, Marvin, you're always worrying about the bottom line. Prepare to go to light speed.
Oh, can we really afford to go to light speed?
Pardon me. I must interrupt Marvin's moaning here. We need a strict Unitarian, financially libertarian. We want you to pay. Your soul will be gay. But we charge a quite large honorarium.
Oh. Now, Marvin.
Oh, all right. But I'll have to cut from the office budget again.
Now, Arthura is, in fact, the captain of the starship Beacon. It is known throughout the UUverse as the Heart of Gold. It is powered by the force that has ensured the survival of billions of congregations throughout the UUverse, the Improbability Drive.
After all, what could be more improbable than Beacon itself?
A vast budget surplus.
Light speed.
Arthura and Marvin are taking Starship Beacon down the interstellar hyperhighway to attend a meeting of the High Supreme Council for Democratic Reform among the pan-dimensional mudbeans of Alpha Centauri.
You know, sometimes I think maybe I joined just one too many committees.
But not all is well on the hyperspace byways.
Uh-oh! There's a guy up ahead in an old space pickup truck broken down on the side of the hyperhighway.
Yeah, probably couldn't afford the fuel.
He's hailing us with a hitchhiker's thumb. Prepare to pick him up.
No good will come of it.
Marvin, you've been predicting gloom since you came online. Now please, go and open the air lock for that poor traveler. He may be a congregant.
Brain the size of a planet, and she wants me to open the airlock to pick up a hitchhiker. Oh, congregant. He probably still hasn't paid his pledge, I bet.
Marvin is currently admitting through the airlock a humanoid from a small planet orbiting Betelgeuse, whose population is entirely descended from Canadian folk pop music stars, or Planet Lightfoot, as it is popularly known.
Greetings, fellow traveler. I'm Captain Arthura Dent of the Starship Beacon.
Hi, man. Like my old spaceship pickup truck died, see?
Well, we can help you fix it or give you a lift to the nearest space station, Mr.
Young. They call me Stand Up Young.
Why is that?
Because I refuse to kneel.
Oh. Yes. Could I maybe get you a nice cup of tea? Marvin, would you be so kind?
Oh, do you have any idea how stretched our tea budget is?
Forget the tea. Is this the spaceship known as the Heart of Gold?
Why, yes, it is.
Then I have finally found it.
The Heart of Gold also refers to a legendary star vessel that can transport passengers to anywhere and any time in the universe. According to the stories, all the riches of the galaxy are at the disposal of anyone who holds the key to this fabled conveyance.
Look, Mr. Young, I think you're making a mistake. This is the Starship Beacon. Heart of Gold is just a nickname.
That's where you're wrong. There's a reason for the nickname. And the key to unlocking the ship's unlimited capabilities is located somewhere in Beacon's past.
My small, insignificant congregation in the unfashionable western arm of the UU-verse?
That's right. All I need is your improbability drive to find it.
Well, I couldn't possibly let you use the improbability drive.
We'll see about that. This is a hijacking. I've got a loaded argument here, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Please be reasonable, Mr. Young.
If I was reasonable, would I be hijacking your ship in the first place?
That's a good argument.
Well, will Stand Up Young succeed in his terrible scheme? And can Marvin really make a good cup of hot tea without going over budget? Find out during the next exciting episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UU-verse! Thank you, everyone. That was episode one of our radio series, and these are the Carry the Flame players, folks. Big hand for them. Yay! Well, Stand Up Young is certainly a shadowy character, and in keeping with that theme, we have a couple more shadowy types for you this evening, but there is nothing sinister about Joyce Johnstone and Twinkle Toes. Ladies and gentlemen, a big hand.
Johnny and Rob. Marvin.
Youth, why are you talking like that? We're from Stowe.
I don't know, but I can't stop here, Pally.
Like the wallpaper stinks to the wall, and like the sea shark clings to the sea, like you'll never get rid of your shadow,
you'll never get rid of me. Let all the others fight and fuss, whatever happens, we've got us.
Me, closer than pages that's in a book.
Mine,
we're closer than
shadows.
Wherever you'll find him, you'll find me. Just look closer than a miser, all the bloodhounds to miser me.
Closer than Smog is to all of L.A.
My shadow.
Closer than Ricky to confessing he's gay.
Not a soul can bust this team in two. We stick together like glue.
When it's sleeping time,
that's when we rise.
We start to swing.
You think you're so just you.
Clocks don't chime.
What a surprise.
They ring, a ding ding, happy new year.
Me,
and not to repeat what I said at the start,
you'll
need a large crowbar to break us apart. We're alone but far from blue.
Before we get finished, we'll make the town rock. We'll hit a few late spots and then a few more.
We'll start out at Stringies and maybe Groucho. Life is gonna be a wow wow wee for my shadow and me.
Before we get finished, we'll make the sound roar. We'll hit all the late spots and then a few more. We'll start out in Stringies and maybe Groucho. Life is gonna be a wow wow.
Yes, there's absolutely no sign required for that performance, ladies and gentlemen. That was just great. Now, where are we? Page 7. Oh, we're moving right along here. Now, it's just about time for episode 2. Well, it's just about time for episode 2. Now it's time for episode 2. The story thus far, Arthura Dent was on the carefree highway until she picked up a hitchhiker from Planet Lightfoot. Mr. Stand-Up Young has hijacked the Starship Beacon, and now Arthura prepares to engage Beacon's improbability drive to take them into the past.
I have to warn you, Mr. Young, it's a long way into the past to reach Beacon's founding. I'm not sure our improbability drive will get us there.
I don't care. It's worth the risk to get the key to the heart of gold. Now, let's go.
Engaging improbability drive.
Did we make it? Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness! It's so bright!
Then we made it. My, time certainly did go by.
What was that?
That must have been John Hagen on the trumpet. He was a Beacon legend way back in the beginning.
Improbable as it may seem, and despite the jumbo pack batteries Marvin has insisted on using to power the starship, Arthur and Young have indeed arrived back in 1983 and are witnessing Beacon's birth. And like a newborn sun, it is blazing with golden light.
Wait a minute. An historic note will be of value right at this point. 30 years ago, Ralph coined our name. The French in Coquitlam were happy we came. With our beacon of light, till one very cold night, they told us we couldn't remain.
That's enough of that. All right. Who here in the 80s has the key? Hold on. That's not the key I'm looking for. I'm looking for... Oh, cut that out!
Maybe it's located in a future epoch in Beaconkin's history.
Are you sure? There's so much going on in the 80s. A big congregation at Plasma Millardville, a thriving religious education program. And look at that band. 2 Camp Sassamats a year? The 1980s look great.
Well, 1990s were exciting, too.
Then take us there, please.
Marvin, would you please engage the improbability drive?
It means changing the batteries, you know. No, all right.
Well, will the starship Beacon make it to the 1990s? Will Young find the key to the heart of gold and steal it? Will Arthura make it to her committee meeting on time? And will Marvin ever buy high-priced lithium rechargeable batteries? Find out during the next exciting episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse! Well, thank you very much. You know, so much of this evening is about remembering. And remembering, it can be wonderful, or it can be painful, or it can be, well, darn near impossible. And Sue Sparlin is going to sing about it right now.
So this is for those of us who have from time to time what we might call a senior moment. Isn't that a nice phrase? But I'm going to hold the words. Just in case. Maestro.
Midnight, I wake up and remember that I left the door open with the groceries outside. Where the heck did I put my keys? Oh yes, there they are, underneath a TV guide. Memory, what became of the short term? I remember the old days, I was sharper back then. If I eat fish and do the crosswords every day, will my brain cells grow again? I could swear I put those tickets right here in my wallet. Now I'm late, I thought the show starts at 8. I wrote that in my, whatchamacallit? Damn, what did I walk in this room for? Maybe when I was younger, I took too many ludes. Where's that ginkgo biloba that I picked up today? Oh, I left it at Whole Foods. What the heck is that guy's name who sings with me in choir? Did I turn both the burners off? Or is my house on fire? Shoot me! Put me out of my misery! Or just leave me to wander? Save on Food's parking lot. If they ask, tell them I once had a memory too. What was the question? I forgot.
What are we doing here? Oh. Thank you very much, Sue. Well, it's that time again. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse is a wholly remarkable book, if it can be described as a book at all. It is more correctly a series of text, pictures, and videos, entries from which have been stolen holus bolus from the galactic internet. Now, it was taken from the successor to Wikipedia, which, as everybody knows, was short for What I Know Is. But since it was conclusively proved in the 21st century that nobody can really know anything, the name was changed to Wikipedia, or What I Guess Is. Now, by a remarkable coincidence, this is exactly how the Starship Beacon's improbability drive works.
Are we there yet?
That's my guess.
Indeed, the improbability drive has delivered Arthur and Stand Up Young and Marvin to one of the most colorful epochs in Beacon history, the 1990s.
Wow! Look at that! So much going on! I have to have a closer look.
Oh, you can't just barge in like that, Mr. Young.
Why not?
Well, first, it wouldn't be socially responsible. But mostly because this epoch is in Beacon's history is known as the Philosopher's Cafe at the end of the UUverse.
Is that why all these people are gathered around the table and arguing?
They're not arguing exactly, but they are very deep in thought.
The Philosopher's Cafe at the end of the UU-verse appears to be a sedate, contemplative kind of activity. Don't you believe it? Its participants are, in fact, engaged in a vigorous battle of wits, using various forms of spoken word to ask penetrating questions about the meaning of life, the universe, and everything, employing sophisticated metaphorical language. At this very moment, two such combatants are taking part in a philosophical, theological slugfest of galactic proportions. Let's listen in.
To be well-versed Unitarian, you're probably octogenarian. For youth is a curse when rhyming a verse and makes of us all antiquarians. Okay, Naomi, what do you say to that?
Yes, I have a joke. There was this cat. He was a very good cat. He did everything he was supposed to do. He caught mice, and he died and went to heaven. And St. Peter said, "Cat, you've been such a good cat. I'll give you this cushion, and you can sit around all day and just watch everything going on." There were these six mice. They were very good mice. They did what they were supposed to do. They died and went to heaven. And St. Peter said, "Well, you've been such good mice. I'll give you roller skates, and you can roller skate around heaven all the time." So he goes over to the cat, and he says, "Well, cat, how's it going?" He says, "Oh, fine, and thanks for those meals on wheels." Okay, and there's another one. This Polish man said to the judge, he said, "Judge, I think my wife is trying to kill me." And he says, "Well, how can you tell? Have you got any example?" He says, "Yes, she has Polish remover."
Oh, Naomi, really, you showed him up.
What? I don't get it.
Oh, I would have thought that was fairly obvious by now.
Marvin!
I take your point, Naomi. But what about this? Here's to the fine church named Beacon. Some members so old they were creaking. But to Sapperton Hall they came one and all for the freedom and peace they are seeking.
Ooh, that's a zinger.
Oh, come on. One of these folks have to have the key. Hey, you! Do you have the key to the heart of gold?
Yes, it's in E minor, I think.
Cut that out! What's going on? Are we leaving?
The improbability drive has kicked in. Marvin, what's up?
Oh, don't panic, but I think the batteries are dying.
Well, will the starship Beacon burn out or fade away? Does Rust ever sleep? Will these obscure references to Neil Young songs ever stop? Find out during the next exciting episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UU-verse. Okay, well, listen, here for your entertainment next, folks, are Satya and John Dirksen. Take it away. Thank you. Well, thank you very much to Satya and John. And we are going to be moving along with our next installment very shortly. How about another big hand for Rowan, our multitasker over here? The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUS is the most popular travel guide in the galaxy. This is in part thanks to its cheerful green cover with the useful phrase, "Don't panic, just think," printed on it in big friendly type. It is also thanks to all the useful information it gives to travelers. For instance, it advises tourists that the letter B may be found in every single faith community in the UUverse. This is what is known as the universal consonant. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse also defines groaning as an inadequate response to what was really a very good joke. Or at the very least, a bad pun, and the two are equivalent. But it also advises all authors to take what they can get. Taking what they can get is exactly what Arthur Dent and Stand Up Young are doing now as the Starship Beacon hurls uncontrollably through time.
Right. Don't panic. Marvin, change the batteries.
I have done. Rechargeable lithium. I had to sell my lower diodes, of course.
But we're still careening out of control. We can't get a fix on Beacon at all.
Well, let me look at the controls. I see. Oh, good news. We're in the 2000s.
Then why can't we lock on Beacon's location?
Because it's a moving target. In the first decade of the 21st century, Beacon changed venues about as often as Marvin changes the starship's batteries. From Place Millardville to the Gathering Place, and from there to the Pensioner's Hall.
That's nothing. The congregation won't sit still. They're partnering with the food bank. They're sharing the plate. They're hosting a regional fall gathering. And wow! They're the first in BC to become a welcoming congregation. It's all a blur.
Well, it's all very nice, but I really have to make it to this committee meeting.
Not so fast, Dent. I'm convinced the key to the heart of gold is here somewhere.
Mr. Young, if you don't mind me asking, what sort of religious upbringing did you have?
Oh, very liberal. I was raised in the pan-dimensional Allied Church of Interdenominational Fundamentalism. In fact, and nothing but the facts.
Ah, you tend to take things literally, don't you?
There's no other way. It is written is fact. It's history. It's happened.
That explains a lot.
I'm afraid you leave me no choice, Mr. Young.
I'm still holding this loaded argument, Dent. What you gonna do? Ad hominem me to death?
Not exactly.
I think you ought to know there's someone approaching the ship.
Oh, no. Not the chalice.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse defines the chalice as being faster than a speeding spiritualist. More powerful than a humanist with a good argument.
I think you see my point.
Able to leap tall orders in a single bound. It goes on to say that when the chalice entered the Starship Beacon, his name notwithstanding, Stand Up Young's knees buckled slightly.
No!
Unitarian astronauts, is this unenlightened individual keeping you from fulfilling your mission of reaching the stars?
Why, yes he is, Chalice.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the UUverse records that the chalice reached for the most powerful tool on his Unitarian principles utility belt. The Flame of Enlightenment. And...
Oh, no. I feel open-minded, tolerant, enlightened.
And then, as improbable as it sounds, Sand Up Young did something he had vowed he would never do.
Humbly, and from my knees, how can I ever thank you enough?
No need to thank me. It's all in a day's work for the chalice. Hurry the flame!
I suppose he's off to continue his responsible individual quest for truth, justice, and a walk in the burn unit.
Well, I hope he finds one. How are you doing, Mr. Young?
Not so good. I have a feeling I've done something very foolish.
Well, now that you're a bit more enlightened, I suppose you can handle the truth. There is no literal Heart of Gold starship. Never has been.
There isn't?
No. You see, the Heart of Gold is in each and every one of us, and Beacon. And it gets magnified when we come together. There is nothing that we can't accomplish, no good that we can't do when we act together as a community. That's the true Heart of Gold.
You mean it's a metaphor?
Yes.
Damn my literalist fundamental upbringing. Captain Dent, I am so sorry. Is there anything I can do to make it up to you?
A donation would be nice.
Marvin, you can start by dropping that loaded argument. And maybe you'd like to come with me to a committee meeting? How do you feel about democracy on Alpha Centauri?
I have an open mind about it.
That's the spirit, Mr. Young.
That was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, folks, featuring the Carry the Flame players, Deborah Thorne, Gary Atha, Sue Sparlin, additional talents of Rev Ev Morris, and Naomi Kerr, and the virtual presence of our very own chalice, Derek Darling. Sound effects by the Beacon Choir, technical support from Rowan Lipkowitz, and piano by David Hamilton. A big fan for everybody, folks. Yeah. Yes, well, thank you. That was quite a ride. And how do you describe a ride like we've had at Beacon for the last 30 years? Doing that is a bit of a challenge. However, some of our more capable members are up to it or feel up to it, and Allegra Slovin is going to give it a try right now.
Give it a whirl. Give it a whirl.
To think that it all started with committee work. Long years passed, some now here assembled came and did not shirk, and they had a blast. We are here to help the world, all our precious boys and girls, and the ones who don't know which they are, growing their theology, dreaming all that they can be, knowing in their lives they'll wander far, and Beacon will be part of who they are. All the controversies now seem very small. As we look back, it's a miracle that we are here at all. With all that flack, ministers and homilies.
What's going on? I'm getting a lot of...
I can't hear it from here.
Oh, okay, because it's sounding really weird where I'm standing. Sorry. I will recommence.
That's part of the Beacon experience too, folks.
Feedback? Oh yeah, we got that.
I meant the part where you said it sounds weird from where
That too is reality. Oh man, I don't want to go back to the very beginning.
Go back to the beginning.
To think that it all started with committee work. These long years passed. Some now here assembled came and did not shirk. And they had a blast. We're here to help the world, all our precious boys and girls, and the ones who don't know which they are. Growing their theology, dreaming all that they can be, knowing in their lives they'll wander far. And Beacon will be part of who they are. All the controversies now seem very small. As we look back, it's a miracle that we are here at all. All that flack, ministers and homilies, boards and all their panoply, days when the presenter failed to show. Cue panic on worship services committee. Visits to the partner church, pledges paid or in the lurch, always wondering if we would grow, as if our wishing somehow made it so. But it is no joke to lift oppression's yoke, whether in the soul or in the street. What you think is true is shown by what you do, and sharing truth is really why we meet. So here's to Beacon's 30th, now raise a glass and toast us proudly. Maybe all our dreams have not yet come to pass. Loudly, we can set up anywhere, little but somehow we share, knowing that our sharing shows our love. Raise a glass to history, celebrate the mystery and the peace that we're all dreaming of, and the peace that we're all dreaming of.
Thank you.
See, it always sounds weird from where you're standing. Thank you, Allegra. Now, we're getting, believe it or not, near the end of the show, folks. We have another couple of acts, then we're done for the evening. But before we get to that part...
There are some people that need to be recognized. To Heather and Laura, we owe a substantial debt, as you know, for leading our kids and our youth as they valiantly search for their truth, our gratitude certain to flow.
And some applause for Heather and Laura would be appropriate at this point.
And on the other end of the spectrum, here's to an old gent named Dennis. So virtuous, he don't know what sin is. In cathedral or bar, his voice carries far. Oh, drat. I don't know how to end this.
Thank you very much, Ev. Now, I'd like to, while this next act sets up, and that may be a lengthy process. It's all very complex, folks. To thank a few of the people. I know we had a lot of thanks downstairs, but thank you so much to Sue Sparlin and Kathleen Johnson, who were the dinner coordinators and assistant coordinator. Big hand for them, please. To that magnificent kitchen crew, Laura Ramsey, Kathleen Johnson, Scott McRae, Terry McComas, and Karen Greenland. To name but a few. And I think we are more or less ready, are we? Well, that's good, because you know, folks, this is a very special act in front of you. It has been through more reincarnations than an entire herd of lemmings. Think about that for a moment. Now, they started out, there were actually two harps up here, and they were naturally dubbed David and the Harpies. I'm not making it up. Then they metamorphosed into strings and chords. And now, in honor of the occasion, they have a new handle. Please welcome David and Donna Hamilton and Donatella Clignon, the Beacon in Ensemble. A big hand for whatever musical act number 8 calls itself next, folks. Now we have just one more number before we finish, and I hope you enjoyed the evening. We laughed together, we sang together. Being a radio show, some of us might have soared or even fallen on our faces. And that can only mean one thing. Well, it can mean several things. It can mean that we're on page 18. And we have a note for another lively limerick to be read right here. Oh, he hasn't got it.
Okay. I didn't know you were looking for this one. Well, we have to look ahead every year, with Beacon's next birthday not near. To celebrate in the new year, we want to compose some verses, not prose, that sound very fine to the ear.
Yes, well, we may want to do that, Ev, but what I was getting at is that we are one. And we invite all former choirs who wish to join us up front as the choir sings the big finale, We Are One. And I'd like to read this thanks to Ev. Once an inspired old minister named Morris imagined he might sing tenor in chorus, but the notes were too high, and some congregants cried, we'd rather he preach, though it floor us.
Stole my limericks.
Those are the best kind. And also, we should have a big hand for Marnie, our choir director, who's done a fabulous job with the choir and the RE kids. And perhaps we could also have a hand for our pianist, David Hamilton.
We run. as legend has it, sprung, fully formed, and singing from Robert Latham's forehead in 1982. And another big thanks to director Marnie Jennings, ladies and gentlemen. Because it is the best place to die. Okay, well, that's it for this evening's special 30th anniversary show, folks. Thanks to the Carry the Flame Players. Without him, the show would not happen. So please send your applause that way.